Welcome to The Christ Life. We're glad that you're joining us yet once again. In fact, I was talking with someone and they were asking about what separates us, you know, when we're online. I said, big part of it is we start every episode, every week with Welcome to The Christ Life. We really do believe that the Lord wants your life lived in Him so His life can be lived through you. And that is ultimately what the Christ life is about. We've been talking about Axios over the last number of weeks. This is the last week that we're going to be talking about it as we've just delved into these 16 verses of chapter 4. I kind of at the place where I want to keep going. We're not going to. I feel like the Lord's moving us maybe in a little different direction. But I've just really enjoyed really seeing Paul's heart in us walking in a manner worthy of the calling. That word worthy is where we get axios. And Paul is writing this from prison, and he says, I therefore a prisoner. Because I think that it's easy for us to think that if our relationship with the Lord is right, that our life is just going to be perfectly lived out. But for him, the living out of his life, because he's not living his life, he's living Christ's life because of all the wonderful things that Christ is and Christ has done, that he urges us to walk in the same manner, keeping what we love equaled with our life. If we love the Lord, we're going to live differently. And so we've kind of every week looked at axios in different ways. We really started out with that love Jesus and love others. It's the ultimate expression of the greatest commandment, that all of us would become great at this great commandment, that we would love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would grow in that love so that we can love our neighbors and ourselves. And that literally may be a neighbor that has a different political sign in the front yard than you would have. But the love of Christ is not bound to a certain form of beliefs, of political beliefs, ideologies. It has everything to do with Him. And as you love Him, you're really able to love others. And then we talked about this valuing others for the sake of one. It was the all for one that we talked about. And then the next week we went from all for one to one for all, and how we have this varying gifts that while we're all united around Christ, we're all unique in our upbringings and our experiences, that Christ just blends so beautifully together to form His body. So a big part of that is really just receiving and then recycling what the Lord has given us. And then we talked about the revelation and the reaction. As we learn Him, we begin to live Him, and we weigh that out equally. So ultimately, we look like Him in the body of Christ. People look at us, you and I, together living out this life of Christ, and they turn to their Father in heaven and they glorify Him. And we will ultimately fulfill Jesus's words there. And then last week, I just thought Ryota did such a great job bringing about living in the love so that we can give love. And it's as we live in the love that we can give the same love in truth so that there is transformation, there is a growth, there is a change. Today, we're gonna do some combining of some of this to work through really what Paul is finishing out in this portion. In verse 16, he says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And there's a beauty that takes place when we come together in this wonderful community that is not man-made. I inside there's always a level of me that I just chuckle when I see some media outlet saying, you know, the church is dying. No, Christ is alive and well, and He's operating, and the church is alive and well. It may not look like the world thinks it's supposed to look, but the reality is it looks like Christ desires it, because Christ has caused this. In fact, as we walk through this portion of Scripture, there are really four areas that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the collection, we're going to talk about the connection, we're going to talk about the correction, and we're going to talk about the complexion. The correction is just very simply that we are all part of the body of Christ because Christ has gathered us. No one else. It's Christ that has done this. He's gathered us to Him. There's the one part. And He's gathered us to each other. There's the other part. And they're equally weighted. It's kind of, if you can see the picture this way, we all find ourselves around the cross. What are we looking at? We're looking at the cross. We're going, wow, what a beautiful thing that Christ has done. What a beautiful thing that Christ is no longer there. What a beautiful thing that Christ has risen from the dead. And we look at someone else and the question might be, what are you doing here? Well, I'm here because he's here. It's about him. And he's brought us all together. Jesus, even in Luke, I think it's the 13th chapter. He kind of laments over Jerusalem, and he laments of them stoning and killing the prophets. Why did they stone and kill the prophets? Because they were afraid. They the things that brought them security was being challenged, and so they would kill the prophets. They would stone them. And Jesus says, "I want as a mother hen would take her brood and gather them together." Underneath the wing, that place of safety. They're all clucking underneath. I don't know what it would be like to be under the wing of a mother hen, but I can just imagine them, those little guys going back and forth. It's messy, it's ugly. And actually, you know, this is the beauty to me as you read through 1 Corinthians, and that's this picture into the early church there in Corinth. You're going, they were a wreck. They got all sorts of problems. But the reality is it's Christ who's brought us together. He's gathered us together. He's collected us and caused us not just to be with him, but with me to be together. And I know there are people that, well, I'm just serving Jesus, just me and you. That is an ignorant view of understanding of who the God of heaven is. God of heaven, he would reach out to people individually, and he always put them into groups. Always put them into groups. That's why there's the people of Israel. He brought them out together, not one by one. He gathered them together and made them a people. And Jesus collecting the disciples, he's there, he's gathering them together. He wasn't gathering perfect people. We serve a perfect God, and we're being perfected in this relationship with the Lord. But until then, there are all sorts of issues. And so for the person to go, I don't need, I don't want. I mean, you know, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. There's someone that ultimately that we walk together with. And so if you are, and this has been my challenge to COVID, because the enemy has used COVID to totally try to get people to be ripped apart from each other. There's a gathering together that is of the Lord. And I would encourage you with wisdom, not to do it in an unwise together manner, but to allow the Lord to continue to gather together the body, because we're gathered to Jesus and we're gathered to each other.
That's a fact. Yeah, the term collection is really an appropriate term. It's a great word to use for this, because it is a gathering, but there with the gathering, there's a tethering. Mm. It's not just a whole bunch of individuals sitting on a shelf. Yeah. You know, well, we're the Lord's collection. Well, we're the Lord's connection as well. He's collected us for the purpose of putting us together one with another. Hmm. And so the whole purpose of God is not to just put us on display as a whole bunch of eclectic, unique, you know, individuals, you know, each one having the work of God in them. That would be true, but that's not the total truth. The total truth is that he has collected us in order to connect us. And the connection is every bit as important as the collection. He wants us all to come together, but he wants us all to come together in him. It is from him that the whole body fits and joins together and is somehow supplied by every individual part. And that then is what results in this gloriousness of God. And so it's a really powerful picture, because we are collected, but we're collected to be connected. We're not, you know, if you were the only one in the world, Christ would have died for you. But hey, here's the truth. Wake up. You're not the only one in the world. And he hasn't planned for us to be the only one in the world. He has caused us to be brought into this place where community is incredibly important. And Ryota said it last week, and it was really interesting to me to watch and to listen, as many of you did. The Japanese culture is a communal culture. It's a community culture. The value, and that's why the challenge was such a big deal. You know, that have you told your parents? How does this reflect on, and how's your family going to react? Because your individuality is expressed as a part of a community. And so this is the reality of the kingdom of God. This is the reality of the body of Christ. And it certainly is what Paul is not just speaking of in terms of, hey, wake up to this, but make this your goal, because God has made this his goal. And so the glory of Christ is meant to be lived out. The Christ life is meant to be lived out, not individually, but in community. And so this is the reality. We are collected to Christ, but we are also collected to one another. We are connected to Christ, but in that, he is connecting us one to another. We are equal parts. And the scripture talks about it as, you know, in a variety of pictures, the picture of a temple of stones being built together to become a spiritual house for the Lord. It speaks of it as the body of Christ, where we are being joined together. The picture of marriage is used in scripture to speak of this relationship with Christ. But it's always a picture of connection that is going on. And so every time there's a connection, there has to be some give and take. There has to be some learning and some loving. There's a bit of friction that's going to be required in these kind of things. And so we are joined, we are held together. And I love this, that God expects a certain level of response in our lives. He expects a certain thing in terms of connection. You don't just come to Christ and it's just all on you. And well, judgment is an individual thing. It's not a choral experience. Everybody stands before God for themselves. Yes, but you stand before God for yourself based on how you live with others and how you live relationally. Remember that whole sheep and the goats thing from Matthew chapter 24. You know, you had all these opportunities to do this and to do that for people who are hungry, for people who are in prison, for needy people, and you didn't do a thing about that. And in the same way that you didn't do a thing about that for others, you didn't do a thing for me. That's a powerful picture of our living faith in the community of others, in the community of believers. And that really is what Paul is getting at here. He talks about us being joined and being held together. So the expectation is that we're going to live our lives relationally. And actually, to know Christ properly, we need to live our lives relationally. John says it really, it's pretty forward when you look at the language of Scripture in 1 John, in the epistle that he writes. But he says, look, if you say you love God, whom you don't see, but you don't love your neighbor, whom you do see, then don't fool yourself. You're just lying. You're being deceived. You're kidding yourself at this point, because you believe something is real in you when it's not real through you. Mm-hmm. You believe that God is, that something is going on for you personally when in fact it has no application relationally. And so those two are inextricably connected together. We're locked together in these relationships with one another. I had a pastor say to me one time, and I'm sure he thought this was made sense to him, but he said, I love the ministry. I love church. I just don't like people. I thought, you like hearing yourself talk. You like getting up behind the pulpit and being the guy or whatever that is, whatever imagination you are. But it's just that. It's just an imagination, because the faith doesn't just work individually. The faith is intended to work in community. And there's that scripture that we've sort of alluded to each time we come along. But Jesus says, it is by this, it's by this, it's as you love one another that people are going to begin to know that you really are my disciples. And so this issue of life in community, of living not isolated lives, but connected lives, is incredibly important.
You know, in our culture, we tend to think that connectedness is just Sunday. People come together dressed in, you know, apparel that they may not dress in all week long, but for that day. And they come and they sing and they listen to the word and then they go on their merry way, and we think that that's where connected. But I do believe that in Scripture, we get this picture that, and it's going to challenge some of you, that smaller is better, especially when it comes to this connectiveness. And really being able to grow out of this connectedness. Because where he really does connect us, and then he comes along and he gathers us and then he connects us, he then uses that to correct us. Because it's only in close proximity with people that you really can be corrected. It's only in the relationships where you see people in the good times and the bad times. If you're at a restaurant with someone, then it's you and your spouse and them and their spouse, and the waitress drops food onto your lap. It's only going to be those three people that, and the waitress or the waiter that's going to see your reaction. What's in the heart? Because here's the reality. We live in a world where we think that we have a good gate on our heart. We're only going to open that gate and let out the things that we want to let out. But when you're in relationship with people, you're working around the car and it's in the middle of winter and it's cold and you don't have a heater in the garage and you take that wrench and you tighten that bolt and the wrench slips off and your knuckle goes right into that other metal in the engine. That gate that's in your heart is not going to hold back what's going to come out, because what is in there is going to be revealed. And so it's in this that when Paul says, when each part is working properly, it's in this community that the correction can begin to happen. Since I'm using a car analogy, think about it this way. It's in community that you're really able to recognize when, like you're in a car, the car's out of alignment. You can drive a long ways with your car out of alignment. But the reality is there's going to be a wear and tear on those wheels that's going to be exposed at some point. But when you're in community, you can begin to make adjustments. Because how does your car get out of alignment? You're just going along in life, or here in Texas where the roads are always have holes, dips, or whatever in it, bang, all of a sudden something comes up in life and hits you. It's easy to get out of alignment. Paul had mentioned in the earlier scriptures that there's this anchoring that happens. We're not being tossed by winds and waves, because life will do that to you. When you're anchored doctrinally, when you're anchored in the things of Christ Jesus, and life comes along, then you're able to withstand that. But when you're struggling, there are people that can help re-anchor you. That's where community happens. Or he goes on, he talks about the craftiness of men, because there are a lot of people out there that want to take from you, that really are used by the enemy to come to kill, steal, and destroy. But it's only in that community that really others can look at you and go, well, yeah, maybe you ought not answer that text that says you are the 1 in 1 billion person that's going to win the $50 Home Depot card, whatever it might be. Because here's what happens in community. It's in community that ultimately we find this place of intimacy. And I want to bring out this intimacy that we don't like in our culture. We like to give out our lives in little bits and pieces, the things that we like to show on social media, everyone being happy, marriage being perfect, kids always minding, whatever it might be. But intimacy just very simply means into me see. And when you live a life where others can see into your life and you see into their life, then you can go and really do what Ryota was talking about, is talk about truth in love, so that there can be a correctiveness in their walk with the Lord, so that the strange doctrines that come. I was in a group of pastors. You mentioned a pastor earlier. That wasn't the same pastor, obviously, but I'm in this group of pastors, and we're talking about this revival that was going on, and there's all these miracles. And this one pastor said, he goes, well, that must be God. No, that's not necessarily true. It's not just God who does miracle stuff. Because what they found out is that it wasn't God. There was actually demonic things that were going on. The whole world's going to look at the Antichrist and go, wow, it's like he came back from the dead. Well, the miracles had everything to do with pointing people towards Jesus. And so I'm like, well, yeah, but this was all about the man. This was all about what he could do, as opposed to giving a platform for Jesus to stand on. But outside of community, he would have gone on with that lack of or that wrong belief. Community allows us to correct one another so that we're all working properly. We're all aligned, trusting in Jesus Christ.
That's a mouthful. And you just breezed by this little line, but the church, as many of you have known it experientially, screams out again and again, you know, we want more people, mm-hmm. bigger is better. You know, it's better to have, you know, 5,000 voices singing than it is to have five. And on and on and on it goes. And bigger is better, bigger is better. You know, so get the crowds, get the bigger building, you know, have the bigger show. But the reality of this level of intimacy that you've brought out, Rich, is that it's only available in the smaller gathering. It's only available as people who've been collected to Christ are connected in Him in a living relationship where speaking the truth in love really does happen, and there where we have a chance to receive. We brought it out. It was brought out last week by Ryota really well, that we have a chance to receive this correction. It's an instruction that God is giving to us. It is this iron sharpening iron picture. It is this, do you know that this happens? Are you even aware that there is this thing going on? And in a person, in the context of a personal relationship where that person and their estimation of me and their understanding of me is a given. I it's not somebody I don't know. It's somebody I'm connected to. Powerfully, and so we can receive from the Lord in community what you will never be able to understand individually. And so this is the reality that Paul is bringing out. It is from him that this whole body actually fits and joins together. And then because there is a supply from every part, this is where the correction happens, because we want the best supply. We want to be the most connected to Christ that we can possibly be. So that what? So that we can live out of the faith in community. And we use the term complexion here, but there's the beauty of it. We want the Jesus who is in us in community to reflect and show through us mm-hmm. in community. That Jesus said it, and we remind you again and again and again of this, because it's kind of like it's the one big deal. Can you count to one? Jesus said, if you can do this one thing, if you could love one another the way that I love you, everybody will know that you really belong to me, that you're my disciples, because this love works in community. And you begin to look and live and love and learn and serve and give like the Lord Jesus does. It's powerful. But these words that are used in this verse, there'll be an increase of the body. There'll be an edifying of people. And there's going to be an amazing amount of love. This is, make no mistake about it, this is what the early church was known for. The reason the church rose in authority and in power and in prominence within a corrupt Roman governmental system where sin was everywhere, the reason it rose to such power that it became a threat to people was because of this communal relational thing. They didn't just talk about caring for others. They started caring for others. They created healthcare systems. They created what would be harbingers of a welfare system, where if somebody has need, we care about the person who has need. And because we're connected to them, we share in that need. And we step up to help and serve one another. This is all this relational reality that's going on here. And it's a beautiful thing. The faith is not just personal. The faith, make no mistake about it, is relational. And so success in the kingdom always has this relational component. This is how everybody will know. In the first century, that's how everybody knew. These were Christians. Mm. These people were living by a whole different code. Why? Because they are the collected, connected, corrected people who look and live and love and serve like the Lord Jesus. And I really believe that that's still his plan. I believe that's what he wants for us. And so if we're going to really walk worthy, we're going to have to walk in this living, communal, loving relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen?
Amen. Let's finish off just basically stating what Paul said, and you just hit it on a moment ago at the very beginning, that that we would urge you to live in a manner weighted equally with your love for the Lord, your love for others, and thus living the Christ life, because you're living the calling to which you have been called. God bless. Until next time.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.